Hi people, welcome back to Dr. Sam's Music, and I hope you're having an amazing week so far. It's still, you know, weird in Nigeria, economy-wise, everything-wise, everything is just up in the air. But I just wanted to encourage anybody listening today, it's not just you, it's the whole country, things, and indeed I think the whole world at this point is just like upside down. We can only do what we can do. Don't carry the world's matter on your head. Don't carry Nigeria's matter on your head. Do what you can do. Connect with God and just stay positive. There's no point being fearful about what's to come, what's not to come, because we don't have control over any of those. All you can do now is to just do the best that you can in any capacity that you can, and just pray that God consolidates upon that for you. So as I shared in my Instagram story yesterday, I want to share an experience that I had with psychosis. Very brief, extremely brief, but scary enough. And, you know, I remember when I put it up yesterday, somebody mentioned something about, oh, there's nothing funny about, you know, psychosis. And I said I wasn't making light of psychosis. It was funny in retrospect, like looking back now and me being a doctor, it was actually a funny episode. But at the time, it wasn't funny. I would never, you know, poke jokes or make fun about mental illness of any kind. So I just needed to get that out there. So I remember, and I remember this last night, you know, in relation to something that I'd wanted to talk about on this episode and how it all tied in together. So when I had my second child, my daughter, she was, you know, she was progressing very nicely via, you know, natural vaginal birth. And I actually got to 10 cm. I'd had my epidural in, got to 10 cm and pushed for almost 2 hours, and she just didn't come out. With my son, I had been diagnosed with having a narrow pelvic outlet. And, you know, they had said, oh, you know, with subsequent pregnancies, if the babies are any bigger, you might have to have a CS and whatnot. But with her, I had been given the go ahead to do a natural birth, and everything progressed very nicely. And we went, I got to 10 cm. I was pushing and pushing and pushing, and she just didn't come out. And, you know, by the time, you know, her heart rate started to drop and everything, they had to just tell me, look, we have to take you in to the theater. So as with CS, they had to sort of top up my epidural, because obviously the ones that I got in for the vaginal birth and the ones that I needed for the CS were not of the same level. So they had to top up my epidural. And because the doctors, the surgeons and the doctors knew that I was a doctor, we were talking throughout the whole operation. So we kind of forged a camaraderie. We were laughing and talking. In fact, when they brought her out, because of all the trauma she'd had in the birth canal, they were laughing, oh, she's gorgeous, but she has a cone head. You know, we were laughing and talking. And then they brought her to me, and I held her for a few seconds, and I'm like, oh, take her, I need to throw up. So I had built, you know, and they took really, really excellent care of me. And we had built some sort of, you know, temporary relationship. So all of them, you know, kind of came into the recovery room to check on me and whatnot. So they took my baby, and I was in the recovery room, and those doctors were coming in, they were gisting with me, and my family were there. My brother was there. I remember they let my cousin in as well. And I literally just flipped. I started to scream that somebody had taken my legs. And so if you've had an epidural, you know that until it wears off, you cannot feel anything from the level downward. So usually from your waist down, you can't feel anything. You can't feel your legs. If they're pinching you, if they're hitting you, you can't feel anything. So I started to scream that somebody had taken my legs, somebody had taken my legs. And everybody thought I was just being funny at first, because obviously doctor, she knows what's going on. But then I started to insist that somebody stole my legs. You stole my legs during surgery. So they removed the cloth and they were lifting my legs up to show me, like, your legs are here. Look, it's attached to your body. These are your legs. And I was literally losing my mind, crying and shouting that somebody stole my legs. I came to have a baby. You stole my legs. You stole my legs. And then somebody was like, didn't you say you were a doctor? This is just a side effect of your epidural. It's going to wear off in a few hours. And I was not having it. And then I heard someone say something about a psych consult. Like, okay, call the psychiatrist in or whatever. And that was when it dawned on me that I was having a psychotic episode. And I had to go inside my head and tell myself, Samia, nobody. Do you know what is? There's nothing as scary as knowing that you're being irrational, but you can't stop being irrational. So I had to go inside my head and tell myself, Samia, nobody can help you right now. There is no one here. You're surrounded by the best of the best medical help, medical care. Your family is with you. You have everything that you need, but these people cannot help you. Only Allah can help you right now. Only you can snap out of this. So I just went into my head. Like, I literally shut my eyes really, really tight. And I just began to pray, yeah, Allah, please help me, please help me, please help me. And I can't even remember what happened after that, but maybe I slept off, maybe whatnot. But it passed. And like I said, it was very temporary. And obviously, by the time I was in my room and the doctors were coming around, everybody was laughing about it. And they're like, oh my God, doctor psychosis or whatnot. And we're all laughing about it. But it wasn't funny when it was happening. And it just made me think about, you know, certain incidences that we all have in life. You know, there's some things that you're going through. And you have all the support that you need. You have everything that you need. You have a good life. You have friends. You have family. You know, you have people that are there for you. You have good health. But there's some things that people go through and they just, all of those things don't matter. All of those things just don't factor in at that moment. And I think that those moments are the moments that God is calling us the most. When God is letting you know that you're not going to find succor in anything or anyone but me. No matter what you have, no matter who you have, I need you to come to me for this help that you need. And there's a verse in the Quran that when I'm going through tough times, when I'm, you know, sometimes you look at your life and you realize that you have so much to be thankful for. Your life is truly beautiful. So when you have down times, you actually feel guilty. You feel like you're being ungrateful. You feel like, but look at all this that you have. But sometimes It's just not like that. You know that you have a good life, but it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to have weak moments or sad moments, or things are not allowed to get to you. And there's a verse of the Quran that I use every time I have moments like that, when I feel like nobody will get it. I mean, everybody's telling me what I need to hear. Everybody's, you know, doing what needs to be done. I have love. I have support. I'm comfortable. I have everything that I need. But I'm trapped in my own head. And there's a verse in the Quran that always, always works for me. And it's one that says, verily, in the remembrance of Allah, do hearts find rest. Like, when your heart is restless and your mind is literally trapped in itself, that's the only way that you can find rest. That's the only way that you can deal with it. And I'm not saying this to sound all spiritual. I'm saying this as in, if you've ever been in one of those moments, try it. If you're Muslim, don't just sit down in a quiet corner. I always slam on headphones and just do dhikr. Like, if I'm having a high anxiety moment, or I'm panicking about something, or something has come that has caused me distress and I can feel myself, you know, sinking into a low, I will just slam on my headphones and start doing dhikr. I will just do dhikr, 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 and the relief always comes. It's either I fall asleep and I wake up feeling lighter and more hopeful, or I have a big cry and it just loosens the knot and the tightness in my chest and my heart. So that episode of psychosis was God reminding me that there are going to be instances that you will have everything that you need. To the world, you would be perfect. You would, maybe not perfect, but you know what I mean. You would have everything that you need, but you would still need me in some instances. And I've had those instances where I had to seek only God. It was only God. I couldn't get what I needed from anybody else. Despite having all the love, all the support, it was only God that I had to turn to, that needed me to turn to Him and just, what's the word I'm looking for? And just recognize my complete dependency upon Him. And this brings me to, you know, something that always, always strikes me as one of the deadliest things that anybody could experience. And I think that I did only one year of psychology. So I'm not claiming to understand anything, but I feel like when you hear stories of people that take their own lives, when you hear stories of, you know, people that go through depression and, you know, have suicidal thoughts. I think that this is usually at the core of it, and it's hopelessness. It's just a feeling of dire and unending hopelessness. And I remember the day that I saw hopelessness. I saw hopelessness in someone's eyes, and I remember praying, "Yah Allah, please don't ever let me feel this way." So I just landed Lagos and I was in horrible traffic. I think it was in Oshodi. I was in horrible traffic and I was, for some reason, I love to people watch. It's one of my favorite things to do. I would look at people and make up stories in my head about them or whatnot. So I was looking at this lady sat by the side of the road, a little elderly, and she was selling, I think, secondhand clothes. And I just saw her. She had a gaze fixed on something. Fixed strongly on something, and I looked at it, and it was a late model Mercedes SUV. It was a nice car, you know, but she was looking at it like the look in her eyes to me said, "I can never have anything like this." Like, that was what I read in her gaze, like, "This can never be me." And it's interesting because you and I would look at that same car and have hope, maybe one day, even if, you know, you just went, one day I'll have money and I'll buy this kind of car. But for her, all I read was hopelessness. And it made me ponder, because a lot of people that, you know, tip into certain, you know, mental states, it's all hopelessness. You see people, I remember when Robin Williams took his life, it really, really, really made me think, you know, this is the guy that to the eyes of the world has it all. He has fame, he has money, he had family, he had love, he had everything. So why would somebody like that take his life? And in me, I just knew that, for me, I just thought, you know, that feeling of hopelessness can overpower everything. That feeling of being trapped in your head, being locked in your own head, where nobody else can get to you, no matter what you have, no matter who you have, nobody else can get into that space. It's you and your thoughts. So I always think, you know, and I'm not trying to understand or belittle anybody's mental state. I always think that, you know, maybe even those moments, somebody or someone had gotten them to turn to God in that. I don't know, and I hope I don't offend anybody by assuming that, you know, I know that people that know God commit suicide. So this is not me again. This is me again saying that I'm not trying to make light or you know, whatever of anybody's situation. But I just feel like the only thing that can, you know, squash or quash or kill hopelessness is just turning back to God. And so this is me telling you that no matter what it is that you think that you're facing, no matter what it is that you think that I cannot defeat this, I cannot fight this, maybe it's God telling you that you don't need to defeat it. I do not ask you to defeat it. I want you to come to me to ask me to defeat it. And when you remember that you're serving the God that saved Moses and the Israelites, you realize the power of the God that you're serving. And I'll put in perspective for you. Imagine you being Moses. You're being chased by the biggest, largest, most brutal army on the face of the earth. And you're leading thousands of people on this mass exodus. You've given them hope that we're going to get away from these people. You know, you're leading them and you're running and they're chasing you. And you know that if these people catch you, man, it's not going to be funny. And you're leading all these people. And where do you lead them? You lead them to the mouth of the Red Sea. Like, the Red Sea. And everybody started to lose hope, because to them it was like, this is a hopeless situation. Like, they're going to catch us. There's no two ways about it. It's either they catch us or we drown, but it's lose-lose for us. And Moses just said, "No, surely my God is with me and he will guide me through." And God told him to throw his staff, like a staff, a piece of stick. It's not like God used a piece of stick. Just throw your staff or point your staff. And he split the sea. Like, God split the sea. He did the seemingly impossible. Like, every single Israelite crossed. He split the sea for them to cross. Like, have we ever stopped to think about that? Imagine just standing in front of, let's even think about just Bar Beach in Lagos, and it splits in two. Like, as my son said, "Mama, will you pass? Will you not be afraid to cross?" You know, he literally split the sea. This is the same God that we serve. This same God. Yes, maybe we're not in the days of big, you know, remarkable miracles. But in our lives, every day, God is still performing miracles. all of us have been in situations where we thought, man, there's no coming back from this one. And then you look back in a few years and like, psh, well, I did come out of it. So no matter how hopeless things are, no matter how you feel like, man, there's nothing I can do. Yes, there may be nothing you can do, but there are many, many things that God can do. So this is me reminding you, if you feel like you are literally at the end of your rope, if you feel like you've put in everything, you've done everything, you sought help from everybody seekable, and in fact, people are tired of you coming to seek help, you've spent money, you spent health, you spent human resources, you've done everything to deal with something, and it's still not working out how you want it. Maybe it's just God saying, it's not in your hands. It's not in your hands. Bring it back to me. And you have to learn how to just literally surrender, let go, and literally, truly let him do what he needs to do. Because many times we go through these situations, is God calling us back? Is God reminding us that ultimately all power and all might belongs to me and me alone? You've played your part. Let me handle the rest. But as humans, we tend to struggle with intangible. We want to seek help from only things that we can see. So we would rather go to humans and would rather depend on our strength because we feel like we're doing something. It's hard for us to let go to intangible things. So we will say, oh yeah, I've prayed. Oh yeah, I've prayed. I'll keep praying. But the prayers are lip service. We're not really, really surrendering. When it gets to a point where you're like, look, I cannot do this thing, and you learn to surrender, and you learn to ask for other steps, and you learn to look for signs and whatnot in what God is showing you with what you're going through, that's when the relief comes. When you learn the lesson in your trial, that's when you unearth the blessing. For me, this is something that has played in my life over and over again. If you don't stop to learn the lesson, it will be hard for you to unearth the blessing. But once you learn the lesson and you start to implement it, then you start to unearth the blessing. And God is so merciful that he tells us in the Holy Quran, verily with every hardship there is ease. So no matter what you're going through, no matter how bad it seems, there's ease in that situation. There's something, there's a light that God is showing you that he hasn't left you alone. Tether to me, come to me, I'm your anchor. Come, move close to me. But we don't see it sometimes because of our pain or our anger or our bitterness or whatever it is that we're going through. We don't focus on the light. We're focusing more, we're grasping in the darkness and looking out for other dangers. But when what we should be doing is focusing on the light. So I hope that, you know, this speaks to someone. I hope that whatever it is that you think you're going through, whatever brief, and I say quote unquote, whatever brief period of psychosis where you feel trapped in your head, where you feel like nobody, nothing can help you, and you're looking at yourself and you realize you're acting in a way that you shouldn't, I hope that this reminds you to turn back to God. I hope that this reminds you that verily only with him the heart find complete rest. You cannot... There's some situations that you cannot handle by yourself. And no matter how hard you try, you will not make any progress. But once you turn to God, and you lay it at his feet, and you understand the lessons that he's showing you, then surely you will unearth your blessings. I pray that you have the most amazing rest of the week. And I really hope that, you know, you guys give me some feedback on this episode. If it spoke to you, if you got something from it, please let me know. And let's keep the conversation going. I'll be back again next week. Have a great rest of the week. Bye.